All right, high noon in the District of Columbia. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. Joining us now from the Washington Post, our friend Mr. Neil Greenberg. Hello, Greenberg. How do you do, buddy?
I'm doing super. How are you?
We're doing well, dude. We're doing well. Kind of turned the page on Tampa. We had Florio on earlier, and he said, you know, it's possible Tampa's just really good. I think we maybe should open our minds to that. Maybe they stink, too. Who knows? But Mike Evans and Godwin and Baker all look pretty dialed in. We are on to the New York Giants here on the B. Mitch and Finley program. What did you think of Jaden week one, Neil?
I thought he was fine. He ran a lot, which seems to be rankling some people, but I thought it was a fine opening outing. I mean, he wasn't the worst quarterback in the league and only had, by my count, like one turnover-worthy play. I thought he did okay. I mean, it definitely could have been a lot worse. He exited healthy, and you know, he's only going to improve. So I thought it was a, you know, fine performance. And you know, there's a lot of new people in a lot of new places in that organization. So a game or two of growing pains is probably something that just makes sense.
Have you ever seen a game where guys get to a quarterback that much, like looking at the defense, and just never get him to the ground?
You mean how elusive he was?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not talking about Jaden. I'm talking about the other side. Our defense getting to Baker,
oh, yeah,
but couldn't get him to the ground.
Was not good. I mean, Baker Mayfield looked like a Pro Bowl quarterback. The secondary was underwhelming, I guess I'll put it, to put it mildly. You know, Sainer still had a tough time. Benjamin St. Juste had a tough time. They seemed to be able to pick apart the corners almost at will. And I think that's really going to be the problem with this team going forward, is having a really bad secondary at a time when league passing is a more efficient way to move the football. You know, I'm not so much concerned about the offensive side, but the secondary would really be worrying me if I was a Washington hopeful.
I have said the same thing. I tend to agree with you, sir. I think, dude, what do you make of league-wide passing numbers being down in week one, rushing numbers being significantly higher? Is that a trend or just a one-time thing?
I think it's a one-time. I mean, I don't put much stock into week one results. We saw two teams win without scoring an offensive touchdown. Week one is, you know, any game and any week in any season can be some fluky stuff. You know, it's just a lot of quarterbacks really weren't part of their preseason. And I think just with the scoring that happened in terms of the scoreboard, you know, 47-10, you're not going to see much passing. 37-20, not going to see a whole lot of passing. You know, 28-6, 33-17, I mean, those scores are gonna tilt towards the running of the football, so I don't put too much stock into it. And I see a lot of people saying that rushing is now more efficient than passing, and that's just silly. I mean, the numbers don't bear that out at all, especially when you compare a running back running the football versus a quarterback passing the football.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you there. I do wonder, though, I think defenses have – I think a lot of – defenses now kind of deploy their, like, the days of, like, easily being able to identify a coverage pre-snap. I feel like quarterbacks are getting less and less of those looks because safeties are, like, in movement so frequently, or what they, the area they're assigned to cover changes as a play unfolds. And I think some of that is impacting the pass game. But I think when the right quarterback has the right, like Mahomes last year kind of had to chunk his way down the field, right? Well, now that they've got Worthy and Rice, and when Hollywood Brown comes back, like, good luck.
Yeah, and what we're seeing is, you know, the two high shells, that sort of thing, is making the passing more conservative, like you said. So the average depth of target is coming down. So you're seeing more of the short to intermediate type throws as opposed to the intermediate long throws. But like you said, when you're able to, you know, exploit the secondary on long passes, or you have the personnel where the defense, you know, either can't cover every place at one time, or you're really good at the line of scrimmage motion, disguising your plays, you know, that's going to be, that's obviously going to lead to more success. But yeah, I think the passing, the depth of target is what's really shrinking. But again, I think a lot of it is also dependent on the scoreboard. I mean, if a team is trailing, they're going to throw the ball more. And if they're up against a weak secondary, they're probably going to take more shots downfield. But I think overall, we're going to see a little more conservative passing game. But I think eventually that'll start to loosen up, because it's always, each side's always reacting to the other. So if they start to react too much to the short to intermediate, then that's just going to open up downfield more.
It's funny you mentioned the ADOT and all that stuff. We're talking with our friend Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post here on the BetQL guest line. What did you think of Cliff's offense? What did you think of a Washington offense that really didn't get much going downfield?
Yeah, you know, a lot of the concerns about Terry, you know, getting like the DeAndre Hopkins treatment, which is being put off to the left side, mostly short, you know, passes, not too far past the line of scrimmage. We saw that in the preseason, and everyone was saying, oh, it's just, you know, preseason trying to get some things working. And then we saw it in an actual game, and that's a red flag for me. I would be concerned if I had, like, Terry McLaurin in my fantasy league, because I think he is going to get that treatment. At least it's trending that way. I wasn't overly impressed with the offense necessarily from that aspect. Again, I still think there's a lot of new parts. I thought Eckler did pretty well. So I think overall the offense was okay. But, you know, aside from like Brian Robinson and Eckler, I do have some concerns, especially about Terry and how he's going to be used.
But how different would all that, how different would that whole conversation have been if Jaden just hit him on the deep shot?
You know what? You're right. That's true. But you look at where he lined up, most of the time it was off to the left, at least from the chart that I saw. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, this is kind of why I try not to overreact to any one game in any one week. Because like you said, I mean, you hit a 70, 80 yard pass down the field or whatever it is.
Right.
You know, and then the numbers look a lot different. You know, that's also why when I'm doing like my analysis stuff, you know, I try to strip away a lot of the noise, and I would consider stuff like that noise, right? Like if you have, you know, one big play of 80 yards and you're, you know, 1 for 7 on everything else, you know, and the receiver ends up with 100 yards receiving, I mean, you know, you have to look at that with a critical eye and think to yourself, okay, well, the 1 for 7 is probably more indicative than the big shot downfield. But you're right, it's a narrative-driven, you know, league, and we're in the content creation business, and, you know, we certainly would probably be having a different conversation. But I do think that it's something to at least monitor going forward.
The lining up on the left, the lack of motion, that noise, that cacophony of people tweeting about it, making it a topic, won't go away unless they start to score. What are your numbers showing you kind of projecting out for this weekend against the Giants?
So I'm actually picking the Giants to win only it appears that...
I did not need that on my birthday, Greenberg.
Daniel Jones saves his best games for Washington. I mean, you look at his career against Washington, his passer rating is 98. It's 82.5 against the rest of the league. And the average during that time was 84.3. So he's actually a below-average passer against literally every other team in the league. And he's like a top 10 passer against Washington. So I think there's still going to be some growing pains with Washington. I'm leaning towards the Giants in this matchup. And I think that you know, it's going to be a tough divisional contest.
Is there any?
You think Daniel Jones could just come and have that good game after this? I mean, after last week. I understand what he did against the Commanders before, but ultimately he did it against the same coaching staff. This is a different staff now.
It is. It is. And you would know a lot better than me, you know, motivation-wise, like how that would work. I'm just looking at it as, you know, it happened once, it happens twice, it happens three times, four times, five. Like, it keeps happening. So I've learned to bet with the streak than against it, because then I'm only wrong, you know, once. but I do think that there's a lot to be concerned with early on. Now, a lot of these concerns can go away for the Commanders. You know, you change some things, you develop some chemistry, et cetera. Your rookie quarterback gets experience. Like, I get all that. But I'm just saying, for this particular week and this particular situation, I am leaning towards the Giants.
God, dude, I don't want to. Yo, somebody let CK know.
What were you thinking? Were you thinking that Washington would kind of walk over New York?
Honestly,
it's not a walkover. He was into the business of making broad statements last year, and it went opposite. So this year he's trying to be more.
I have changed my life ever since halftime of the Bears game.
I got it.
27-3 at home against the Bears changed my life. I don't know. Here's where I'm at. I don't know that the Giants are going to win. I think the Giants are bad. But I know they have a good D-line, and I know Danny Dimes typically plays well against Washington. And I just want to at least temper expectations of fans in this town. Yo, this is not going to be a
cakewalk.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that's
they're
going
to have to grind out wins. I mean, I'm optimistic about Washington, but I think there's a lot of different storylines where you can find success, right? Like, I don't think a successful Washington season only hinges on wins and losses. I think if Jaden shows that he's matured throughout the season and he doesn't get hurt, I think that's a humongous win for Washington. I think if they, you know, can figure out some other key guys to use with him, I think that's great. You know, if they obviously they're going to identify the secondary and figure out what needs to, you know, happen there. But you know, the wins and losses, I'm not going to say they're secondary, but it's not the only successful storyline we could be talking about with Washington throughout the year. But I know it's important to a lot of people.
But that's the thing where I'm trying to have people understand what you just stated. You know, this year they basically told you what they're trying to do. And if you come out of it with a quarterback that you know is that guy, that's a win. But not most fans are going to listen to that, because right now they're expecting the team to be competing and getting double-digit wins, and I don't think that's possible at this point.
No, and I would even say, you know, a six-win season with Jaden, you know, showing significant growth from week one to week 17, staying healthy, I think Washington should be, you know, Washington fans should be thrilled with that result. I think that is a fine result and, you know, more cause for optimism than this franchise has had in, what, two decades.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Let's zoom away. Let's zag from the Commanders game, which you predict the Giants to win, to kind of what else stood out to you around the league. What'd you think of Aaron Rodgers the other night?
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers didn't look great. I'm actually more concerned about Kirk Cousins in Atlanta. I do not believe he's completely healthy since he suffered that torn Achilles in Week 8 last year. I'm not alone in this, obviously. You look at how they used him. They only let him line up under center once. The rest was in pistol and shotgun. You typically use those formations to give the quarterback some more time, but also to run play action. They didn't run any play action. I am absolutely fading Atlanta until I am sure that Kirk Cousins is healthy. That, to me, was a big red flag.
Did you think Aaron was healthy? Because I watch Aaron Rodgers. He didn't throw one pass where he stepped into it. Everything was the back foot and the sidearm.
Right, and Kirk Cousins was kind of the same way. Look, you know, when you're an older quarterback and you're coming off an injury, I mean, you can't be expected to to bounce back. I mean, I was optimistic about the Jets. I still am. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers is 41, and for football, that's old, right? I mean, like, you're, you know, you're
life.
Definitely in a, on the other side.
That's not football
earth.
Old. That's just old.
Well, I mean, I say this in my 50s, right? Like 40 is, you know, football old.
You're in your 50s? So, no way.
Yeah, I'm 51.
No way.
I said that last week, a week ago.
Well, I have no short-term memory, Brian, but I would have thought you were my age, Greenberg.
No, I'm
just had
a
rough life, dog.
All right, well,
Greenberg, just tell him he had a rough life.
All right, I'm going to put your fantasy skills to the test. This is live. We're going to do this. Bleep it. We'll do it live. I have a roster spot in one league, and I didn't want to waste my waiver claim. I have Jared Goff as my quarterback. These are the options for the player I could pick up here. I could pick up Derek Carr, who I do not believe in, but he sure looked good against the Panthers. I could pick up Lazard. I could pick up Pierce, the kid. Both Pierce and Doolin from the Colts are available. I always lean running backs. Jamal Williams is available from the Saints. I could also go after Tank Bigsby from the Jags. What do you think here?
I like Lazard only because of his familiarity with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And it looks like that's paying off for him. I mean, he was 6 for 9 the other day. But like you said, I think that you got to go with a running back because that there's so much flux with that position. You can probably always find like a dependable wide receiver for a week or two, but if there's a running back that you think is going to be getting some work, I would always lean towards the running back, like you said.
What do you think about adding the Wilson from the Dolphins? They already said Mostert's out for Thursday night, right?
Yeah, that's the type of thing. Like, I think that, you know, with the waiver wire like that, those are the type of shots that you need to, you need to try with. Because look at, you know, we just saw it in San Francisco, right? I mean, like, you just, you know, you have a big game from Jordan Mason and you know, as filling in for somebody, and it could really change your outlook. So, yeah, I mean, I'm all for, even for running backs that may only have, like, a game or two in them, if they're big games, and, right. You know, not only are you getting those points, but you're keeping them from somebody else, I'm all for it.
Brian, do you know how I have a roster spot available on one of my fantasy teams?
How's that?
Because I drafted Diami Brown with my last pick. Greenberg, am I comfortable to release Diami at this point?
Yeah, I think so. Let the record reflect
he'll
that
have
I
150
cautioned against drafting McCaffrey.
He gonna release him, and then he'll have 150 yards receiving.
Yeah, well, that happens. But
that's
let the record reflect
goes,
I
man.
Cautioned against drafting McCaffrey number one in favor of Breece Hall of the Jets.
That
so
is
far,
true.
McCaffrey's
going
to be banged up this year. Take the running back, Mason.
But you know what B-Mitch said? And we kind of laughed at him. When I had this third overall pick, and it went McCaffrey and then CD, we all said, who should I take? And I took Breece Hall, and I'm happy with Breece Hall. You said Saquon.
Yeah,
and
I did.
In week one, he was the best running back in fantasy. For
just
sure.
Saying, man. So I know a little something every once in a while.
Hey, Greenberg, thank you for the time, brother.
Just sparingly.
All right, love you guys. Talk to you soon.
Hi, Green.
That's our guy, Neil.